And welcome back in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. As always, go to TennesseeStar.com. On the web, you'll find links to some of the stories we're talking about. And I'm sorry, I've kind of got my mouth full. I'm taking that last bite of steak before the Green New Deal goes into effect. And Spartacus Booker takes my steak from my cold, dead hands. U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn with us to break down budget deals, green deals, and military explanations. Senator, good to have you with us.
It is so good to be with you, and I tell you what, no more grilling hamburgers on the charcoal grill for you, Steve Gill.
Man, I just have this vision of UT tailgate pre-football games as people suddenly have a reason to start going back to UT football games. They're going to be like grilling zucchini out there behind the car before the games.
Well, they will be electric pan frying. No grills at all.
and they'll all have, they won't be able to drive. I guess we're going to have more train tracks getting us to the UT games. There is a track right there, but, you know, no cars, no planes. I mean, how crazy is this Green New Deal? And I know we're laughing at it, but they wouldn't propose it if they weren't serious.
Well, they are serious about this. This is their utopia. And bear in mind, in 2007, Ed Markey was in the House. He is now in the U.S. Senate, and he is the Senate sponsor of this legislation. Look, what this would do to Tennessee is it would shut down FedEx. It would end the logistics industry. Cattle farming is the largest sector of the agriculture industry in Tennessee. All of your cattle farms would go out of business.
Yeah, but think of all the training and consulting of people training those cows to hold it. I mean, it's a completely new industry we haven't thought about.
You know, the dairy industry would go to the sidelines. You wouldn't have the Valero oil refinery in Memphis. You wouldn't have service stations and service station attendants. You would not have plastic containers that carry so much of the food that we eat in the grocery store, because all of that comes from polymers.
Marsha, why don't we have the United Auto Workers and other, I mean, why aren't there protests right now out at Nissan and Saturn and Volkswagen and the auto parts suppliers? Why aren't those folks already up in arms and marching on the streets?
Well, they should be. Their jobs would go away. This would decimate the economy of Tennessee. And while I know people that live in places like New York City and Chicago and Los Angeles feel like they can get around and they would be fine using electric vehicles, they don't think about the reaches of the country that would be so adversely impacted.
I love the electric vehicle idea that they have, but when they plug them into the wall sockets, do they think the energy fairy provides the energy? I mean, if they're going to abolish the coal-powered plants, the nuclear plants, I mean, you can't even fuel electric cars if you don't have energy.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, the electric vehicles and some of the good research work that is being done on those, they are, in essence, running from electricity from coal-powered plants and or natural gas-powered plants. All of that would go away. So we have encouraged Leader McConnell, some of us in the Senate have encouraged Leader McConnell to put this on the floor as quickly as we can get it there and call the vote.
Yeah, call their bluff, bring it up for a vote. I love it. Yeah,
that is right. And then we will send this to the House and put it in Pelosi's lap to call the vote in the House.
I also don't see a lot of those big tractor-trailer electric vehicles on the highways or electric tractors out in the fields of farm country. This is another reason why the whole abolish electoral college is a stupid idea. We really shouldn't let people in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York be the boss of the rest of us, because this is the kind of craziness we'll get if we let those narrow areas dictate American public policy.
Well, and you can see how this is really just some of the new members of the House of Representatives have tilted so far left. That people, we get contacts every single day, hundreds of phone calls and hundreds of faxes and contacts, social media posts from people saying, you can't let them do this. And of course, we are pushing back against this because they would carry out Barack Obama's missive when he said, we want to transform this country.
It certainly tends to be doing that. One other quick question before we get to the budget deal, because I want to talk about that. You, in addition to being on the Judiciary Committee, congratulations on that, where you may, if they ever find Ruth Bader Ginsburg, may have an opportunity to be in the midst of a very contentious hearing on that at some point. But also you're on the House, on the Senate Armed Services Committee. And I just saw a story where one of our admirals, Admiral Phil Davidson, apparently appeared before the Senate Armed Service Committee earlier this week and was pointing out that, yeah, while there were two ships that collided under his command that killed 17 sailors, he wants credit for the 280 that didn't crash and sink. It's kind of like a doctor saying, yeah, I know I left a scalpel in you, but I want those other 12 patients, I did not leave a scalpel in them, and I want a bonus check. This is crazy.
Well, I was in that hearing yesterday, and there was some concern over, and rightful concern over the occurrences, adverse events that have happened, and these crashes, and wanting some explanations for that. And there was, as you can well imagine, Steve, a lot of dissatisfaction in this. Your listeners know Fort Campbell was in my congressional district, and I have worked tirelessly for that post. And then as I came to the Senate, my request was to have Armed Services as a committee and to be able to take the lead in representing and providing for these men and women in uniform and their families and our veterans. I'm also on Veterans Affairs in the Senate, and making certain that our veterans are cared for. This is a primary portion of the work that we do, and we are just so honored.
Man, you hit the trifecta of committees. That's no doubt. Now, one of the things about Fort Campbell, I noticed they have fences and like walls around them that keep bad people out, as do most of our military installations. And yet the Democrats think walls are immoral. I haven't noticed them wanting to tear down the ones we have. This budget deal will be a lot more than Nancy Pelosi. She wanted to give $1 at most for the wall. $1.437 billion is more than a dollar. Is this a win for the Republicans and for President Trump in border security or not?
We're waiting to get all of the details, but this is what we know so far. And Senator Shelby spoke to our conference yesterday. There will be, for the next 8 months, this $1.38 billion, that is 55 miles of additional, that is new fencing. And so that is in this budget agreement. And
Now, Marcia, as a continuing resolution after September 30th, if you just keep the continuing resolution again, which is what's been going on, does that mean another $1.4 billion next year for more wall?
No. Well, see, this is what has happened. If we stayed with a continuing resolution, we would only get about a half billion dollars for a wall. But by the fact that the president has dug in and forced the Democrats to negotiate, what you will get is $1.38 billion for 55 miles of wall. You're going to get more beds. They were trying to cap the beds, but you're going to get more beds. You're going to be able to probably surpass his goal of getting 52,000 beds. You're going to get
because let me ask you about that, because it's there. You're going to get an increase of about 1,000 more than last year. So there is an increase. President Trump was wanting about 52,000 beds. My understanding is that it's sort of a soft cap, that even though they're saying 45,000 or so, he can probably push the number up to 52 if necessary.
That is correct. There, he can probably get it a little north of 52. We're waiting for the details on that. The Border Patrol would get the technology upgrades that they've requested, and they would get hiring capability for more agents. So we will see what the language is. We will review it when we get that final language today, but this could turn out to be a substantial win.
If it does these things.
A good down payment, on where we're going to go with giving him more for building the wall. The other thing, Steve.
People, by the way, forget that incremental wins are still wins. The Democrats have incrementaled us to death on a lot of issues.
Yes.
Steps in the right direction, and these are pretty good steps. Assuming that it does what you've described, you will vote for it, right?
If it does what I have described, which is what they have as the agreement in principle, then, you know, we feel like this gives the president more ammo. Plus, here's the big plus, and this we want to see. It would give him the ability to reprogram existing funds. And last week when I talked to Mick Mulvaney, who was in the House with us, did our budget committee for Republican Study Committee. Then he was head of OMB and now is serving as the acting chief of staff. I told Mick, I said, you know where this money is. We've talked about these unobligated funds in that budget for years. He said, absolutely. And, you know, this is one of those.
So we're up against the clock. So just to summarize, get what you can get, and the president and you and Mick know there's some more out there. So get what you get.
That's it.
Go get some more.
That's it.
Great
That's
deal.
It.
Senator Blackburn, come back with us again soon. Again, so much
you
to talk
it.
About, but we appreciate you. Keep up the great work.
Will do.
Senator Marsha Blackburn, and if the deal does, as it's described, and I think that's what we're finding is in there. It's an incremental win, and again, get another 55 miles, go find some more money over there, get another 55, little here, little there. Pretty much you've got a secure border then, right? We'll talk more about it. Get your thoughts, 615-737-9522. That's 615-737-9522. Is it a win? Anytime Pelosi loses, it looks like a win for our side, and I think she definitely is a loser on this and everything else. We'll talk more about it in a moment.